Hello, you're listening to Me and Paranormal You with your host, Ryan Singer. Because it's more fun to believe.
Hey everybody, thank you for listening to another experience of Me and Paranormal You. This is your buddy Ryan Singer. Back again, my buddy, Greg Fineman. We were planning on having a conversation today, an interview, and then right before it happens, Greg hits me up and sends me an audio clip of something that just happened to him at the house. Let's just set this up real quick, and then I'm going to put the audio clip in here for people to listen to, and we'll probably edit out the middle part, right, and just do the beginning part. And then, 'cause it sounds like it might be like your friend with her kids or something.
She had kids. Yeah.
And then we'll come back to the end when you get back on the phone. So,
yeah.
So let's play that for everybody. We're going to do that right now.
And that's the raw video, or the raw that I sent you. It's not edited really at all.
It's just
from that point on of the conversation to the end of the conversation. I haven't got rid of the stuff that, you know, that you're just the background. I haven't clipped that yet. So.
This just happened. So yeah. we're just going to throw that in right now for everybody.
Thing is, you're supposed to do that for people all the time. Do things that you don't expect any return. Like if you're going to do something for a stranger, because it's more like you'll never see that person again. Hold on a second. I'll see that person again.
You there?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Did you hear that?
No.
You didn't hear that banging at all?
I heard, it sounded like came across, digital for a second is what it came across on my phone.
Really?
Yeah.
It was pounding on the side of my house.
Really?
Pounding, like someone was banging on the side of my house, and there ain't nobody around.
Dang. It sounded digital, is what it came across on the phone.
I got my gun out because I'm like, who would do that?
Dang.
I mean, it was loud, and it was all pounding on the side of the house. Like, bang. Wow.
Yeah. The only thing that came across is, digital. Like you would hear, on a radio, not on a phone.
Really?
Yeah.
When I said, when the dog started barking?
Yeah, and you said, hang on.
Yeah. So just before that?
While you were... gone.
Okay. I'm gonna replay the video or the audio on that. I think I got it. I don't know. But man, I've never, yeah. Well, let me call you back. I wanna check this out.
Okay.
And look into this.
Okay.
All right, I'll call you back.
Bye.
Okay, so that's the audio clip you sent me. Now, as the listener could hear, and I've heard, as I'm listening to it, there's a sequence of a bunch of loud bangs. And I've been to your house. I know exactly what the type of house you've got and how it is there. And from the location where you're setting it, set the stage for us a little bit.
Okay, well, my house, the exterior of my house is brick. The interior walls are concrete, you know, they're all concrete. They're not plaster, you know, or sheetrock or anything like that. I could barely hang anything on my walls. And basically I was on the phone talking to a friend of mine, and all of a sudden I hear these loud series of bangs that started about where my computer sits, you know, on the west side of my house, and it felt and it sounded like it went all the way down the side of my house. But there is nowhere that you could make that sound from that area. I mean, that sound, I mean, it wasn't someone hitting on the windows. That would have been a rattle. So I don't know where that sound came from, but it was loud and it, you know, scared the dogs. They were all up in arms and yeah, I didn't know what the heck that was. I literally, it was so loud and, you know, before I walked outside, I grabbed my gun, man, because I had no idea what could make that kind of noise along the side of my house. And just by chance, I had it recorded, you know, I called Mama Sue right away, told her, and she said, you probably said something it didn't like. And if you listen to the conversation, what I was talking about was doing things for other people without asking for anything in return. And if you want to do something nice, do something for a stranger that you know you're not going to get nothing back. And I was right talking about that when all of a sudden, boom, 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 all the way down. It just felt like it went all the way down the house. And literally, I ducked because it sounded like it was like right over my head. So yeah.
just to give a few more details from an outsider's perspective, you don't live in a place that has a ton of like just foot traffic. It's not like you live on a downtown street where there's shops, you know, on your street where people are always walking and, you know, kids or teenagers are always hanging out. At least not this time of year, I would imagine. Because it's quite cold there, at least, you know, a few weeks ago when I was there, it was really, really cold, and it's still pretty cold there now. And that area is, you know, outside, there's a fenced in area there to even get to the house to be able to bang on it. If let's say you're a prankster, you're hopping over a fence or, you know, like a TruLink fence, you know, not a huge fence, but where you're getting in the fence somehow, just to even get up onto the house to bang around.
Yeah, and both
it just
gates
doesn't
were
seem
closed.
Feasible. It doesn't yeah, seem both, feasible.
Both gates were closed, and no one had walked up to that. You could tell no one had been there. You know, and I went out. I mean, I looked out the window right away, but before I walked outside, I grabbed my gun. As I walked outside, and there's nothing. I mean, nothing. There was not my neighbors outside going, "What was that noise?" or anything. I don't even know if they were home. But it was that loud. Like I said, I've never had that happen before, you know, and, you know, all, you know, Mama Sue's going to tune in. I'll probably get answers later from her, but, you know, time will tell.
I'm not surprised by the timing, you know, considering that we were planning on talking this evening and, you know, getting some updates. When I recorded an episode while I was there hanging out, you weren't on that one. So we've got the situation. Just as a recap, we were going to record an episode today with some updates about Mutilation Ranch and the location that Greg and Mama Sue have been investigating for a few years now. Well, Greg even longer. And because we were out there filming and trying to get a bunch of this documented on camera, getting the story with Ed Brown and Dan Lindholm, myself, and with you and Mama Sue, and with the rancher, Tom Miller. And now, like, we're getting ready to talk today, and then just like something that's never happened at your house happens right before we're chatting, which just kind of kicks things off, which is, you know, I'm not surprised. I'm fascinated, but I'm not surprised.
Yeah, that's kind of that goes with myself as well. Before, you know, as an update, maybe we could start off by talking what happened to Mama Sue.
Yeah, we can get into that because, I think that's, and this was pretty soon after we left. We all left, right?
Yeah, we're talking not even a couple weeks ago. I have to look it up on my phone. Let me see here.
Well, I was, we left your place the last week of January. We were there.
January 31st.
So this was just a couple days after.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. Yep. I think so. Yeah, she called me. And before she sent me the photos, she tells me that she was taken by that reptilian tribe. She said that she had, there was a reptilian being that had her by the right arm, holding it very, very roughly. And she described its hands as having three fingers and a thumb. And it was holding onto her arm really roughly, and it appeared mad at her. And it was talking to her in clicks of the tongue and vocals that she didn't understand, but she could get the point that it wasn't happy with her. And she said the being was about 6'2", broad at the shoulders, again, having three fingers and a thumb. And she said that at one point they had her hanging upside down by her foot. And I said, well, how do you know this? Well, Fitz had to board that ship to get her off of it. They had to go on board. They said, when we got on board, they had you hanging by your left foot, upside down by your foot, when we came on board. So that means they boarded the reptilian ship to get her off of it. And then she sends me the photos of her arm and her left foot. And the whole reason they're doing it is because they're trying to scare her from working with me. And she doesn't even know if she was going to be brought back if it wasn't for Fitz boarding that ship. She said the ship she was on was octagonal. It had eight sides to it. She counted eight sides to the inside of the room, at least, or the inside of the area that she was in. She can count eight sides to it.
Huh. I mean, it's, this is, I mean, being taken, I suppose, is not the, this isn't a new territory for you and Mama Sue when it comes to what's been going on during this investigation. But this is new territory when it comes to the reptilian, this other alien tribe, right?
Well, there is taken and there's abduction. All right. Taken is what's happening to me. What happened to Sue was an abduction. All right. That was an abduction. That was without, against her will. And they were, and, you know, no offense to her at all, but I was like, when she's telling me all this, I'm like, honey, you're a little old lady that they're doing this to. They're manhandling and they're hanging you upside down by your foot and all that. You're a little old lady. She goes, I know. And I'm like, I, you know, and she doesn't, she senses just pure evil with them. And again, I don't have her feelings. I have to go off of what she says. But, you know, from my standpoint, I can't hate something I don't know anything about. And I don't even know why they don't like me and why they hate me. But I'm being protected. And they said that when I was asking for her to them to protect Mama Sue instead of me, basically they are. They, this one, this caught them off guard from what Mama Sue said. Fitz wasn't expecting that to happen, for her to be taken like that. And when they did find out about it, they boarded the ship and got her off of it. And then when she wakes up, she's got this huge bruise on her arm. Now, I know she had bruises on her arm from Penny, her little dog, that, you know, would chew in it. It had those bites along the you know, length of her arm, but not those big, huge bruises. A doctor said when he looked at it, it looked like someone was holding on to you tightly. She goes, thank you. You know,
so this indicates a boldness of move. Like there's, you know, if Fitz is caught off guard, that means that something is unexpected, obviously. And so this is, you know, not in the normal playbook, which would indicate that for whatever reason, they decided to get a little more bold.
Exactly.
Do you think it has anything to do with the escalation of the investigation and or trying to escalate getting the story out by actually getting, you know, the documentation of it while we were there and et cetera?
Well, really, it's not about what I'm doing right now that they don't like me. It's what I'm going to be doing, which I don't know what it is. When I am at some point, and I believe this wholeheartedly, 100% as I tell you this, that I believe at some point they're going to take me. And the escalation is going to happen the closer we get to when the event happens. And the event, we're only not even a year and a half away from it. If that, maybe I'm saying, I don't, you know, you always a give or take. So I'm like 2 years at the best, you know, just based off of the years, 23 and 24, those were the years that, you know, either spoke, this event is supposed to happen in this time frame, but they can't pinpoint a time. They just know it's going to happen in a time frame. And that they're going to take me before the event because I will not survive the event. And that's, you know, it depends on, and I don't know exactly what the attack is going to be. I have an idea, but you see what's going on the world news right now, and that's all part of it. It's all part of it. That Chinese balloon that they shot down and all that, that was an outright 100% provocation of what they did. And we don't even know what was released into our atmosphere when we shot that balloon down. They shot it down, and I'm glad they did. They should have shot it down long before or brought it down, but you don't know what was in that balloon that escaped into our atmosphere. Maybe just helium. But I know, we know that our air and our water supply will be attacked, and the air is going to make the water supply bad.
And it's going to be we don't even need help from the outside for that, because I mean, what's happening in my home state of Ohio right now with the water supply and the you know, it's like we're already doing the job of polluting and destroying the air and the water supply. And I was talking with someone just yesterday who's the president of the International Center for Reincarnation Research. And she was quoting a doctor who said, who's a climate specialist and things like that. And he said, it's going to take an emotional and spiritual change for people to understand that we do have an effect on, like, to have a large scale awareness or awakening. That we do affect the world that we're a part of, not that we're in control over. And I mean, these things that we're discussing now, you know, tie into that. And, you know, as far as the habitation, we're talking about the habitable nature of Earth, right? And whatever event is going to happen, attack, whatever we're calling it, the point is Earth, as we know it, right now is not going to be around after these events. Is that the message that you're saying?
Pretty much. I mean, in a nutshell. And, you know, it's there are going to be events unlike anything we've ever had before. You know, and it even describes it in the Bible, and it's very interesting. In Revelations, it talks about a great earthquake happening, greater than any earthquake ever. And right after that, 75-pound hailstones start raining down on us. And you think, how is that possible that 100-pound stones are going to be falling out of the sky? Well, I'll tell you. There's gases deep within the earth. I don't know how deep, but deep within the earth. And when these gases escape into the air that solidifies with the water, in the air, the moisture in the air, and it starts raining 100-pound rocks, all right? And that means that if the earthquake is like one we've never had before, it opens up the earth, who knows what escapes, you know? Plus, we don't know what's going to get triggered, all these, you know, super volcanoes and everything, you know, who knows? But it's just, it's not up for me to know what's going to happen. I can guess, but it's going to happen. Just like that balloon came in, and it all in that, and they shot it down like that. It's going to be just like that, but in a, on a more severe level when it happens. And it's going to, you know, we know that, you know, what Fitz is telling us is to get our hearts right with Jesus Christ, because when Jesus comes, all right, before he comes, there's going to be a an angel of light that comes saying that he's Jesus Christ, and he's going to do, quote, miracles, but I don't call them miracles. I call them tricks, because they're done to deceive people. But if you know the Bible, you know that Jesus is not coming that way. He came and did miracles already. He's not coming that way. He is coming as an ark of fire. And sin is combustible. And everyone that's in Christ will be refined, but everyone in sin will be burned. That's the only thing I can say that I believe. You read the Bible. I'm not the one that wrote it. You know, I'm just telling you how it's going to be. And this earth will be uninhabitable after he comes. And Jesus will not save us from these events. Okay. He'll save us through it, but not from it. And that's all I can tell you.
Yeah. Well, I tried to look it up real quick, and because I am familiar with the atmosphere, it raining rocks previously. This isn't something new. This is something that's never happened before. When you're talking about the gas being released and solidifying with the moisture, I was just doing a quick search. I'm not going to spend any more time trying to find it, but this isn't something. This isn't something that is like just even that is so out of a science fiction movie that is beyond the realm of believability in the first place, because there is precedence for this. On a much smaller scale, obviously, than 75-pound, 100-pound stones coming down. But it does make you wonder, like, okay, so just from, you know, my knowledge and history from back in the day when there was these books called the Left Behind series books, and there was 12 of them. At the time, I was reading them when they were coming out. I think I read the first seven. But each book correlated to a chapter of the book of Revelations, right? And there's these two Christian fiction writers trying to come up with what they thought might be the end times. But the Antichrist was obviously the main, you know, bad guy in the series. And it was fascinating how they portrayed this person as someone who brought world peace and all this other kind of stuff, which is like, hey, this sounds like this person's doing a great job.
Well, that's what the Antichrist is going to do.
Yeah. And so it's always been a little bit confusing, like, OK, well, they just brought the world to peace. How is this person pure evil when they've brought the world to united in peace? It seems to be an aspect of this that is kind of confusing, I think, for people. If that makes sense.
No, it's go ahead.
Or so what I'm saying is, it's like, you know, it's, you know, there's other characters throughout history who, you know, real people who have, you know, have died and, you know, promoted peace and wanted unity and world peace. And those people were never, at least to the best of my knowledge, labeled as an Antichrist. Although who knows? I mean, they do get vilified. Whether we're talking about Dr. King or Gandhi or Nelson Mandela, who was thrown in prison. I mean, they are vilified by opposing groups who find their interests will be impeded by whatever that, you know, because they're taking away their power in some way. But I'm curious, actually, real quick, before we get into we launch into the next chunk of this, let's do a quick break for. So I throw some commercials in here. And just as a reminder, patreon.com/Ryan Singer. That's where you can go see or listen to the episodes ad-free. Literally about an hour ago, I just posted a small excerpt from The Bridge, the paranormal documentary series I've been working on for a long time. I just put an excerpt up on that. Episode 3 of that series will be coming out very soon. I've been hard at work doing a master cleanse, which is this. I don't know why I'm doing this on day 6. And no solid foods for 6 days. And so just trying to edit in the meantime. But anyway, patreon.com/Ryan Singer. And we are back with Greg Feinman. We are discussing the updates on Mutilation Ranch investigation. We're talking about what's been going on at the house earlier today. We're currently in the month of February as we're recording this in 2023. We're talking about the big scope plan of the investigation and the information that's been revealed along the way, and just getting some other updates along the way. I don't want to go too far down the Antichrist rabbit hole.
No, I get it.
I could talk about that for like 3 hours and be like, "Whoa, what's going on with the Antichrist?" But I mean, it is pretty, fascinating stuff. I mean, the Antichrist has always been a fascinating character, to me. Anyway, when you're talking about let's go back to how we started today with the bangs, and Mama Sue said that you were saying something they didn't like. I'm curious if we have any insight or indication about this reptilian agenda, because they seem to hate good stuff, people being good people, right?
They hate it all, from what I understand. Everything to do with humanity, as far as what Mama Sue's saying.
Oh, okay. So it's just a blanket statement. If humans are doing it, doesn't matter, even if it helps us, we hate it because it's humans.
I don't believe they like us at all. You know, Pierce, and whatever I'm going to be doing is against whatever they're going to be doing. And I don't know what it is, but they're just waiting us out, because they know the event's going to happen. And then everyone's going to know that Fitz is real after all this happens. And that's just what, again, Mama Sue has said. But she senses nothing but pure evil from them. They just want, like the cow that they killed, the last cow that they killed, bovine that they killed here in December of 21. They just wanted to hurt that cow. There was no reason for that cow to die. And they did what they did to that cow while it was still alive. And so their agenda, I really don't know, other than they don't like us and they want us exterminated. And the deal is, Fitz is the supreme beings out there. From what I understand, they're the supreme beings and nothing is above Fitz. That's why the reptilian tribe can only make a cattle meat. They can mutilate a cow, they can kill it and mutilate, but they can't do what Fitz is doing to the cow, because they don't have the same technology Fitz has. They have a lot less technology than Fitz has. All right, so they can't even do to the cow what Fitz is doing, but they can tear it up and make people think that it's a mutilation. Only a trained eye would know that this is a copycat, you know, from another alien tribe. I mean, I know it sounds crazy, but that's the way it is, man. I mean, that's just the way it is. You know?
Yeah. I think, worrying about sounding crazy has been out the window for a long time on this podcast.
Oh, yeah. Well, listening to this. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's wild. I mean, and the whole journey's been wild. I remember when we first started chatting, and people can go back all the way to the beginning and listen to the story from the beginning. And then getting out there to where you are and actually, you know, seeing the place, being around there for, you know, roughly about a week, and then actually going out to the ranch and other places, it's, you start to get a sense more of the, when you're in a space, right? When you occupy a location and you can smell it, you can feel it, you can just be there. It takes on a whole new level of, I guess, realness for people, regardless. You know, we always have these ideas in our mind like, oh, I'd love to go to this place. And I want to go there because I know how much fun it would be to be there. And then you get there, and hopefully that's the case. But out on the ranch property at night, when the devices were going bonkers, and you're establishing contact and having, you know, a conversation essentially with Oma that night when we were all freezing beyond freezing, and I realized like, oh, this is, I haven't been out in the woods at night in a long time since.
Yeah, it was 16 degrees that night. 16, dropped down to 13, I think, while we were there. The The reason they didn't take all the apples that we left was because they were frozen. And so they only took, you know, each of them took one, but they were all frozen. And matter of fact, when I went to take a bite out of one of those apples to show it was good, I could hardly bite into it because they were sitting outside, you know, the vehicle for a while. And before I put them in the basket, and it was not long enough time for, I guess, 16 degrees to start freezing an apple, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, because we were there late at night. It wasn't super late, but it was there, you know, after dark. And then we went back the next afternoon, middle of the afternoon, and some of the apples were already gone.
Yeah, and my question to you, okay, from the day that I started telling this story to where we're at right now, you coming out and experiencing it for yourself, do you believe in any way, shape, or form that I've embellished, fibbed, made something, some part of the story to make it more interesting up, or is there anything, indication when you, of everything that you saw, anything, was there anything that I did meant to deceive you guys or try for you guys to feel something you didn't feel or see something you didn't see or something? I mean, you experienced it. What is your feelings? I mean, I told the story because I'm telling it how it happened, how it really happened, as honestly as I can, as transparently as I can. But again, telling the story and having someone come out and validate it is another thing, you know, and what they say, what they feel, what they experience.
I don't feel that there was any deception on your part. Now, I do believe that the trickster is just, it's prevalent and ever present everywhere in the world of the paranormal, the unexplained, the anomalous, the supernatural. So I do believe that there is very likely, at the very least, there's an element of trickster happening somewhere, somehow within this investigation, right? It's just, you just can't avoid it. You can't get away from it. Now, whether that's equipment failing, right? Like right at the wrong moment, or the perfect moment, if you were the trickster, like our camera, like the memory card debacle with Ed and everything else.
E-drive. What about my e-drive?
Yeah.
What about getting into my e-drive?
Yeah, your e-drive. We didn't even talk about that yet. So I do believe that the tricksters at play in this investigation, obviously, and I think a lot of it comes into the technical aspects of it. I don't believe that you're trying to spin a yarn or take me for a ride. In being there, you can feel something going on. And you know, obviously, as someone who does paranormal investigations, who's been really interested in this stuff for a long, long time, I obviously want to experience things and I want to feel strangeness, right? And I want there to be something so I can get a glimpse of it. But you do feel like you're getting a glimpse of something when you're there. And you know, like I was just editing video right before we were talking about this, and there's just this, and I had to get up away from my computer, and I think I'm home alone right now, but I was just being like, this is unbelievable. Like, are you serious? Like, this is so fucking weird. Right. Cause it's my voice coming through like a ghost box type device called the gateway device. And as soon as I walk back in a room after my voice had already been coming through the device to other people that were still in the room while I was outside with another friend of mine, it says, so do you see yourself? But it's in my voice. I hear my voice through this device. And I didn't hear it in the moment because everything was happening so fast, walk back into this room from being outside, but reviewing the footage, I can hear my voice because my friend points it out. It says, so do you see yourself? And I'm like, yeah, as soon as I walk back in the room after it's already been mimicking my voice, it says, so do you see yourself, as if to send me a message later on when I'm watching the fucking footage, right? It's just so, so like, that's like the trickster element, right? Like,
yeah.
There's all these Easter eggs And that video, I'm probably going to put on my Patreon, just Patreon, just for people listening, by the way. Patreon.com/Ryan Singer, nice little plug right there. But it's probably, and it's obviously going to go in the next episode of the series. But you know, it's because you know, I do. But it's things like that when things, you know, interesting things that you later discover that you might not have been able to discover in the moment because because you're trying to be present in the moment, right? When we're we're outside in the woods and there's a lot going on. We're not going to stop every 15 seconds and be like, review that. Okay, everybody stop. Hit play. Rewind. Hit play. Yeah. You know, you have to live in the moment,
later.
Right?
Yeah, it's done. All that's done later, you know. It's all done later, you know. I think that there were some things that were new to me while we were out there, even. When Omar was manipulating the EMF meters, I didn't know they could do that.
So that's the first time that's happened. Let's talk about that for a second, if we can. Let's set the stage for what we were doing out there, or like what devices you had running at the same time.
Okay. I had one of the things that, because we're out in the middle of nowhere, you know, with nothing that Monica can... the spirit we're in contact with can manipulate anything. I'll set like an EM pump up, you know, and if you put the EM pump close to it, and you have to check it, make sure it's working, and it'll show, the EMF meter will show that it's working, but then you move like a foot and a half away from it, and that's it. You ain't getting any more readings no matter what you do. It doesn't, you know, EM waves don't go very far. So what I do is I set them about 30 feet away from us, and I set them there so the spirit can go get energy so she could manifest herself in a way we haven't seen her before, because I was hoping she would manifest herself in front of the SLS camera, like if she had the energy to do that. So that was what that was one of the things that I had running. But about 30 feet away from us, nowhere possible could an EM pump like that with two AAA batteries affect our EMF meters 30 feet away. It just wouldn't happen. Even if I had a microwave running out there, it wouldn't trip my EM meter that far away. But we had those. I had that running just for her to get that that energy so she can manifest herself in front of the SLS camera. But I had that. We had the PSP7 spirit box going at one time. I started playing Oma music with my Bluetooth speaker that I got. I played Oma music.
It's a big speaker too, by the way. It's like that's like what, a 2-foot speaker?
Yeah, it's a
big boy. It's like, you know, back in the day, like we're gonna have a beach party, we're having a pool party, get out the big boy and this big ass speaker.
And I use it a lot for my portal device, is what I mainly use it for. But I also found another use for it, is playing Omaha music. And I downloaded a bunch of Native American music that they love. And I play it for them all the time. And what was crazy was when we did that, when they were singing, the EMF meters were pegged red, like going along pinging red. And as soon as the singing would rest, so they could take a breath to start singing again or whatever, the EM pump, EMF meter would stop for that moment and then pick back up as if they were singing. You know, their singing was manipulating this EMF meter in some way, because and matter of fact, before, I gotta say, before I even put out the EM pumps, we made contact with the EMF meters right away. And so, you know, it's not a question, you know, I know, I've been out there a million times. I know that, you know, what's being affected and what isn't, you know, what I go out there, and I won't put something out there that is, you know, going to manipulate our EMF meters in a way that is making it look like we've got something when we don't. I don't do that. But, you know, it's a necessary evil if you want a spirit to manipulate SLS cameras, you got to give it some sort of energy to do that. But in no way was those that far away. And then, matter of fact, I think the battery started dying on those things. And we were still, up until we ended the conversation with them, they were still going off. I mean, just pegged red, you know, and that happens a lot out there. I mean, you know, and that was, I'm just glad that it happened. Yeah, I knew it was going to happen. I wasn't afraid that it wasn't that, you know, that it wouldn't, nothing would happen when you guys were out there. I knew it would. I knew it would. That's why I was saying, come anytime. I don't need to get ready. I don't need to do anything. You just show up and we can go out to the ranch and, you know, and, but here's the thing. They are not, I repeat, not a form of entertainment. I don't go out there to entertain people. You know, I'm going out there. I go out there to develop a relationship, a friendship, keep a friendship going. That's why I go out there, because I'm friends with Fitz. That's why we call him Friends in the Sky. I'm friends with Omar, and they consider me like one of them, is what they said. And that's important to me. It's important to me that I have those kind of friends. And I, you know, that's why I go out there. And the EMF meters are only so we can communicate with them. It's not to turn on the camera to show the EMF meters showing up so everyone can be entertained. It isn't. That's not the message at all. It's not to entertain. This is real stuff. This is a real investigation. And these are the tools that we communicate with, how we communicate. That's how we get the information we get a lot of times. That's how we communicate. That's how all this began. And you never want to forget where you come from in something like this. And I still don't feel worthy of the position they gave me, but Mama Sue told me about a few days ago, not very long ago, just a few days ago, that Fitz, at some point in my life where I was probably around adulthood, I'm probably guessing around 17 or 18, Fitz took me and they laid it out what they had planned for me, but I had a choice. I could do that, what they wanted me to do, or I can refuse it and I can go on with a normal life and everything I will do will be successful. It'll be successful, you know, you don't have to worry about money, none of that. But if you choose this, you know, what we have planned for you, if you choose that, from this moment on, nothing that you do is gonna work out for you. Nothing hardly is going to work. It's going to, you're going to struggle financially till the day you're not here. Just that you know that. And basically I chose this, you know, Sue said, because the person that you are, you chose it. You took it on. And so, you know, technically, I guess if they took me at first when I was 8 years old, it could be technically used as an abduction, but they took me and my dad because we were more genetically alike than not. But after that, I mean, I was always good with being taken, evidently. I, you know, Mama Sue is adamant that me and her, especially me, has been on that ship holding conversations with Fitz, like over coffee. And I'm not
like
saying
you got your own locker.
Yeah. Yeah, like, you know, but it's not done. It's done telepathically, but it's like we're in that setting. And this stuff, it's all in my brain, but it'll be there when the day that they take me, all the stuff that they've been doing with me that I don't know about and that I don't remember, all of it's going to come to me all at once at one time. And I truly believe that. I truly believe God chose me for this. And all I want to do is make them happy with me, you know, and basically get a relationship with God that I should have had a long time ago and work on that and try to get the message out for people to be good to one another. Right now, it's more important to be a good person than ever, they said. You know, I can't stress that enough, and that you're going to be judged by your heart, you know, and your beliefs also, but, you know, because you can't good your way to heaven. No matter what you do, you're never going to good your way to heaven. You're not going to do so many great things that you went to heaven. There's something that has to happen with you in your heart before you go to heaven. You got to believe that Christ died for your sins And that's it, that he died and shed his blood for the things that we're going to do so we can be in the presence of God. And Fitz has shown how they can manipulate clouds and how they worked with God during all the things that they did in the, that he was able to do in the Bible. A lot of it, I truly believe Fitz had a hand in it. They were part of it. And we're just now learning this stuff. It's just, you know, and the message is be a good person, get right with God. The message isn't, you know, buy my book at the end of the story. I don't say buy my anything. And I put my all my financial, everything I've got, I put into this investigation. My blood, sweat, and tears into this investigation to get out the message the right way, to do an investigation like no one else has ever done before and do it in the right way, where you're going to get good information. And the reason we got this information is because I was invited out to this ranch. You know, we're on a ranch just like another very famous ranch. But the difference is we have been invited to this ranch. And I'm not saying anything against the other ranch or anything about what they're doing over there. I'm just saying this is how we know what we know, is because we were invited out there for them to do all this, for us to do all this, for me to learn what they have planned for me.
Yeah.
They guided me. They guided me.
That's, you know, what a beautiful ranch it is. And I think we're going to have to stop here real quick for just another little quick, potentially I might have to throw another ad or two in here. For people over, patreon.com/RyanSinger, you get these ad free. But so let's do that real quick, just in case I have to do that. If not, you'll hear nothing except us continue talking in about 2 seconds. Okay, so we're back. Now, speaking of this ranch, I want to tell you what I expected to get out there, what my expectations were when we went out to the ranch that night. My expectations were that we wouldn't get anything. Now, when I say that, those are my expectations whenever I do any paranormal investigation or I'm out anywhere. I never expect to get stuff or feel like if it doesn't happen, then it's a failure, right? Because I think there's so many variables that go into an investigation. And, you know, you can speak to this as well. That just because you're going out there and making a phone call doesn't mean the other person's available to answer in that particular moment.
Yep.
And to expect them to answer the call whenever you call, that's just not how the world works. And that's just not how the paranormal works either. And so my expectations were nothing. My hopes were that we would get something. And, you know, I was pleasantly surprised about the level of activity that was happening out there that night. You know, when they say, you know, hope for the best, expect the worst, I guess is, you know, hope for something, expect nothing, I think is a way that I approach paranormal investigations. Because you can speak to that as well, probably, about, you know, going out there and just, you know, there's not really anything happening, or, you know, there's not action, right?
No. And, you know, sometimes they're not there. When I go out there, there's times I go out there with my EMF meter, try to talk, and I get nothing. They're not wanting to talk. You know, I'll go out there to leave apples, you know, and I'll, before I do, you know, go out there to, and when I leave apples, the first thing I do is, you know, communicate with the spirit that's out there, let her know that I know she's there and, you know, how you doing and I miss you and all that. Then I leave the apples kind of thing. And, you know, but, and sometimes she answers and sometimes she doesn't. They're not a form of entertainment. I don't expect it to happen, but I could tell you, because of what Fitz is wanting, I knew 100% we were going to get action out there, because it was their moment. It was our moment to show that a lot of the stuff I've been saying is true. That everything I've been saying on your show, I haven't embellished a single thing. It's all off the top of my head of my memory of what happened. And I knew we were going to get action while we went out there. I just knew it. I wasn't worried one bit. You know, that's why I say, come on out. You want to see it? Come on out. You know, I don't have to, you know, they will, you know, attend the party, so yeah. to speak.
Yeah, and it's, there's something about, you know, it's that whole, you know, I mean, I think there's a reason the 37th parallel has lore around it as well. And, but there's something about, there's certain places that you go as someone who's interested in the paranormal or an investigator of the paranormal. When you show up, you immediately just kind of, you feel it. You feel something. And sure, the skeptic might be like, well, these are expectations affecting, you know, mood and sensation, et cetera, et cetera. They can say what they want, but we know, and I know for a fact that there are certain places when I get there, when I just even show up physically and I'm there and nothing's, I'm not trying to do anything or anything like that. You're just like, oh, something's going on here. And I thought this was really strange. I don't think anybody thought it was as strange as I did, but I had, I mean, and I'm including your apartment in this, because every time I had so much static electricity inside of my body while I was there. Every time I almost, by the end of the week, I almost didn't want to turn on your sink because I knew how zapped I'd get. And you, like, you can see, like, I've never had it to a level where, like, on command, I wouldn't rub my feet or I wouldn't do any of that. I'd be like, okay, I'm going to walk to the kitchen. You want to see a spark? Watch. And then, like, Ed came in and Dan came in. And I'm like, look, and I touched the thing and you hear it like it's so yeah. loud. And you could actually see the spark when I touched the sink or you the know, fridge.
You know what they're telling me right now? Oh my God. Oh my God. You know what they're telling me right now?
What?
That was them trying to get you to mess up my computer by touching it. I'm serious. That's what happened when my computers went out, but Fitz protected us from it. Even though we still can't get into our E drive, they were trying to charge you to end up messing up my computer when you touch it, because that's what happened to both of my computers. It was like static electricity, but it wasn't static electricity like I've ever had before that killed a laptop that was plugged in, just killed it, and killed my other desktop computer. And both of them had encryption on that hard drive that was meant to never get into it before, off on a snap of a finger.
It's wild because I've never.
That's what I'm doing right now. Yeah. They were trying to get you to mess up my computer.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I could have. I mean, I definitely feel like I was zapping, like, to the point where I was almost like I said, I didn't. By the end of the week, I was like, oh, do I even want to turn the sink on right now? Like, it doesn't hurt. But at the same time,
yeah,
it's a strong physical sensation.
Well, it's like the kick of a gun. The kick of a gun doesn't hurt, but you still flinch a little, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and you know it's gonna go snap and you're gonna feel it. And but here's the thing, Ed's a skeptic. I know that. And he saw he saw a shadow figure. Dan, he got hit what, twice, three times in the head? Mama Sue, she had that thing chase after her and scared the bejesus out of her because she'd never seen anything like that. And what we saw, right?
And I just couldn't fall asleep in that house. Just in general.
Yeah, it's very active. It's very active. And everything what I'm doing right now, they're trying to mess me up even right now. And you know, by you know, getting depressed feelings and things like that you just have to snap out of. It's them trying to mess me up, not wanting me to study or, you know, try to get me off my game. But the thing is, they can't do anything because Fitz is protecting me, you know, and I don't think I'm invincible by any means. I mean, man, I pray that I don't wake up. And when I do, I'm in the possession of, you know, the reptilians are around me. I'm not going to be happy if I see that. You know, I'm going to hope that when I wake up, I'm going to be in the, you know, and, you know, with my friends. And I just, and the reason I don't go out to that ranch by myself anymore is I don't want to put them in a position where they have to protect me. You know, you want to have witnesses everywhere you go out there, because things happen that you want to witness with, to say, yeah, that happened. You know, you can have two people say it, but you don't go out there by yourself when you know that there's something that doesn't like you and they want you gone. You don't tempt fate.
Yeah.
You know, not with this, I'm not. And I, because I believe 100% what Sue says about them. And, you know, look at what they did to her foot. You know, I mean, she's a little old lady and they're treating her like that.
Well, when you sent me that photo, I thought that Sue was going to have her foot amputated. It was.
It looks that bad, doesn't it?
It looks that bad. Now, I want to talk about the e-drive real quick, because we previously had spoken about this on the, I think it was the last interview we did, where, and you referenced it already about your computers getting fried and there was encryption on there that was like government level encryption. And you're like, I never put any of this on my computer. And we couldn't, we got it. And so you had the computer cowboy, is that his name?
Yeah.
Computer cowboy is the one who fixed it for you. I don't know. I know we were talking about still trying to get some of that footage because we couldn't get the e-drive. We couldn't get it all for a week. We were trying and it just wouldn't let us get in there, would it?
Nope. I mean, we tried everything. And since, you know, one day I was able to get right to it and open up the files and get right into it until the hard drive that Ed sent got here. And then I went to get into it and I can get all the way to my folder, but blue circle every time, you know, and then it opens and it might open up part of it, but I just cannot open up files and get it sent. And, you know, when I talked to the computer cowboy, I told him, you know, I said, first thing, don't think that I think you didn't fix it. All right. You fixed it 100%. You fixed it because I was able to get into all my drives, get into all my footage, see anything I wanted, click, double click for, I could double click my way into oblivion and I could, you know, I could open things up and everything was great until I got that hard drive. And then you can't, I mean, I couldn't open up nothing. There was no double clicking. There was no, you know, right click and open file. There was no, none of that. Once I get to that one folder, it will not let me get in. And there's, I ran my antivirus software through it. And I had it run my antivirus software on the E drive. And it gets to 1% and stops. That's it. And when I do a full system scan, it'll get to 99%, and then it drops all the way back to like 10%, and then gets up to 37% and stops. And that's, you know, it's things that, like, I can get into everything else. It's only that one thing that I can't get into.
And it's weird. And just so people understand exactly what we're talking about, when you get onto your computer or your laptop, all you do is you just double click something so you can open up and see what's inside the folder. That's all we're talking about here. We can't even, like you said, you can't even double click to even, you can't even navigate this E drive. That, and part of me was like, we got so much footage. We've got all that. We got the other drive we copied over of a bunch of video and reports and things like that. I'm like, you know, we got so much stuff. I think we've got it. But now that we're speaking about it, it makes me believe. It makes me believe that there's something on the E drive that really needs to be found.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah.
This is happening. So now I feel redetermined that has to be, we have to figure out a way to do that. And whether it's just getting the computer cowboy to do it or somebody who's.
And just for the record, his explanation is he has no explanation. He will not say, he's adamant. He doesn't, you know, he didn't want to go there, you know, where I was like, hey, I'm just trying to figure this out. Cause I said the P word, you know, paranormal. And he's like, oh, I don't want anyone thinking I'm saying this paranormal and this. I said, well, no. You don't understand. You don't understand. I'm trying to figure this out for myself. And I just had to ask you all these questions of, you know, you have no explanation for why this happens. I know why, but I mean, I'm not saying you know why. You're not saying, well, Greg, and you, I ain't going to be able to do it. They got some virus that I don't know anything about. They're not doing.
Wow, and you just froze on me. Unbelievable. So I just, wait, are you back?
Yeah, I lost you.
What perfect timing for all of that. As we're talking about.
Yeah, you froze
up. Yeah, you totally froze on me, but we're back. Yeah, so it is funny whenever you talk to someone who's, you know, highly efficient or proficient in electronics or computers or things like that, and when things start to go into a paranormal direction potentially, and that's not their thing, they say this phrase a lot, like, I just don't understand it. I've never seen this before, or it doesn't make any sense, or, you know, I just don't have any experience with, I just don't know why this would do this. You just hear that a bunch. They can't wrap their brain around why it's happening. And then, you know, when you've spent any amount, if you spend even 3 weeks investigating the paranormal, you know that that's just stuff that happens constantly.
Well, that is, you know, if the word paranormal is in a dictionary, that is, you know, you're going to see a picture. Paranormal is outside, you know, are you there?
I lost you. Paranormal is outside what? Yeah, paranormal is outside what?
I said the paranormal is outside of the norm. It's outside of the norm. That's why it's outside of the normal. It's paranormal. So when you can't explain something, that's why you call it paranormal. You know, I mean, that's where it goes. If you cannot explain it, it's outside of the normal. You know, am I losing you?
No, I got you there. But maybe we're right around an hour. So maybe we'll wrap it up anyway, because it seems like, I don't know if it's where I live, my apartment complex, whatever, like at the busy hours of streaming and all that kind of stuff, the Wi-Fi kind of goes really slows down around here. So, let's just put a bow on this one. That audio is wild that you sent. The banging, we're going to have to get updates from you and Mama Sue at some point about what that, if we ever figure out what that was, exactly, or what was going on outside of just the didn't like something you were saying. If we get any more details on that, you'll have to keep us posted. And as always, thanks for jumping on and keeping everybody updated on what's happening. And we'll be updating people on this show as well about the status of the documentary and all that good stuff as well as that moves along.
And just for all the listeners out there, Ryan is a real cool guy to hang with.
Right? We had fun.
we had a lot of fun, man.
We did have fun. I mean, that was the, I knew it was going to be fun, but I didn't realize how fun it was going to be. But and watch this. I'm not going to be putting the video up, but you'll appreciate this. Hey, Ziggy, turn Terabithia blue. How about that?
I've got
Ziggy hooked up to three different light systems. In my bedroom here. So, I've got Ziggy all hooked up. I'm living that voice activated life after being at your house.
Yeah, you know, I figured just before, if we're going to lose it, man, I just want to be able to say, man, I sure wish I had what the Starship Enterprise has, where you just say computer and it answers your question and tells you everything. And I wish that would happen. And then when it does, you got to jump on it. You got to jump on it and you got to like embrace it, you know, because it's nothing like saying turn on a light and it turns on, or set your temperature to this and it turns it to it. You know, it's great.
I just don't think it'll ever get old.
No, it never will.
It'll never get old. But buddy, this was fun. Right, thanks for doing this. And
always fun.
And we'll be chatting again real soon, I'm sure.
Sounds good.